And now, a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
It is National Science Week. We're very excited. We've had a lot of special guests on. You can find out more at scienceweek.net.au for events that are happening around here. But, Lingy, you and I especially, very into AI. So we're very excited to have the former Chief Technology Officer of Microsoft, who is now the head of Australia's National AI Centre, and his name is Lee Hicken. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, team. Happy Science Week.
Yes.
Yes, it's been exciting, Lee. We've speaking to all different types of scientists and getting a broader understanding of science in this Science Week. AI, nice. Talk about topical. there is so much happening. We have so many questions for you. Do I start off with the one of why I'm petrified of it?
Or should I go for it? Go for it. Go hard. Open with that one.
Well, it sounds like you're the one I've got to convince. Why are you petrified of it?
Well, okay.
Terminator.
Immediately, yeah. Watch the Terminator movie. Skynet, all of that. But also, just how far it goes if it was to be unregulated, if there weren't ethical people in charge of it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. The mind starts running. Mm. Should the mind stop running and just pull back a little bit for me?
Oh, look, there's nothing wrong with a little bit of imagination. And, yeah, we've all seen the movies, so Terminator, yeah, of course. But, you know, there's also good movies out there. Go watch Tomorrowland or something like that. It's a much nicer story about AI.
Yes.
but, you know, look, you know, but there's some truth to it. The stories we tell ourselves are the stories we believe, and that's what sets your mind running on this. And all those things you talk about, is there ethical people helping out? Is there regulation being talked about? It's all happening. It's like, I'm not saying don't worry, but just there is a lot happening to try and figure this problem out because there is risks, but there's so much reward. If you get your hands dirty, get your hands kind of on some AI, have a play with it, figure out what it means to you. I think that's the most important kind of outcome here is everyone should just figure out if they can use it, if it's valuable to them, and where it might fit into their life, rather than have someone else tell them, hey, it's terrifying, you shouldn't do it.
I feel scared because boomers on Facebook fall for a lot of things, right? And they're like, oh, I saw this meme, and did you know this is happening? Well, the other week, I'm not sure if you saw this, and I'm sure you probably did, Lee, but there was vision of bunnies jumping on a trampoline, and the whole internet went wild for it, and it turned out it was AI, and I thought it was real.
So did I,
And so I was like, oh my God, I am now a boomer on Facebook. Everything is looking so, so real. So how are we going to know the difference between what's real and what's AI online?
Well, so I'm not going to lie to you. I saw that too, and I thought for a minute, hey, that's really funny. That's awesome. I didn't realize it was AI until maybe about a week or so later, and then my 18-year-old son said to me, oh, Dad, you idiot.
Yeah,
I kind of realized, okay, so this is like, how are we going to realize it? Like, there's a certain part of this that is the younger generation, my kids, you know, I've got young kids or young adults, I should say. And they sort of get it. There's an innateness to that. And you know, we've all grown up with, you know, we get mobile phones, we get computers because we all grow up with them. We got used to them. So there's a bit of that evolutionary, like we're just going to adapt to this. But I think there's a really important point at heart of what you said, which is like misinformation, disinformation, being able to figure out what's right and what's wrong is getting harder. And there's work to be done around what they call like watermarking or tracking and tracing of AI content. So when you're looking at your Facebook feed or no, you're not a boomer, you're not looking at Facebook, when you're watching your Insta feed, you can see something that says, hey, this content was generated by AI and you know how to look for that. But it's not. Yeah, it's going to take a bit of work. It's not an easy thing to do, to be really frank with you.
Lee, there is some concern. I think people are a bit nervous that AI is going to take everybody's jobs and sort of replace, and that there may be a tipping point where the AI sort of jumps the fence and gets free, if you will, and sort of outsmarts humans. How are we going to stop that?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I just don't subscribe to that thinking, and for various reasons. Like, I know that broad statements like, you know, it's not going to happen is not fair to everyone. First of all, AI is not really looking to take jobs. It's looking to do tasks that make up a job much better. So, and we already do that. We're very good at that. We've already very quickly moved to using word processors instead of writing down everything we think about. We're good at using, you know, Adobe tools to create images instead of drawing in. And in fact, artists use those tools now, and writers use those tools to be better at what they do. So I'm kind of on the camp that AI is going to be a real tool to make those that can do things better at doing those things, and it's also going to make it easier for people that don't know where to start. I'm not an artist, But if I can sit down in front of AI and start to create some art and imagery, then I can start to be a little bit more useful, and I can kind of build a new skill set out of it. So I kind of look at it that way, but, you know, crystal ball, you know, nobody really knows the future.
Well, Lee, we've been asking you a lot of the fears and the concerns around it. What's the most exciting thing for you? So what's something perhaps that is world-changing, life-changing, improving life that AI is capable of doing either now or sometime in the near future?
Right. Well, look, I mean, we're already seeing some of that today. So, you know, we're seeing AI get itself into education and create personalized learning plans, helping, you know, people either with different abilities or different learning paces to kind of adapt and understand a topic. So, you know, it's kind of the teacher that never stops listening and adapting to what you're trying to do. And that doesn't replace teachers. It's just a tool that a teacher can use. We're seeing in healthcare, we've seen some real action. Like, there's a company called Chemistry 42 that is building an AI-based molecule modeling platform, and they've done some trials. In fact, they did some trials. Australia was included in those trials. So we're seeing that kind of stuff happen. It really is changing the way we do really big, you know, kind of important things in the world. But there's a little one for me. You've all used ChatGPT, I'm guessing, or some tool like it.
Yes.
And do you remember the first time you switched on the voice chat and you just started having a chat to it as opposed to typing in prompts and waiting for it to respond back to you?
No, I haven't done it yet. I haven't.
Go do it. So when you start talking to it, and I think to myself, okay, like, this is kind of weird, I'm talking to a computer. But within about 5 minutes, I stopped realizing I was talking to a computer. I was exploring a topic. I was talking about movies or something, actually.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, in 10 years' time, when kids and young people are trying to explore new ideas, new topics, and just integrate with the world, they're going to be, what do you mean you used to type on a computer, Dad? Were you from the, like, 70s or something?
Wow.
They're just going to be talking to systems, and it's going to change the way that we can access information, which is a basis of how humans kind of progress in their careers and their lives, is access to information.
Amazing. Well, look, the one thing I will say is it's a very exciting future, and spoiler alert, really a surprise for Lingy and Loggy right now, Lee is not a real person. We've been speaking to an AI bot the whole time. Well done, AI Lee.
Do I need to give you the code word now so you know we're real?
Blink if you need help. No, we can't see you. You're on the phone. Lee Hicken, you are the head of Australia's National AI Centre. You're also an ambassador for National Science Week. It's been fascinating talking to you, mate. We might keep your number and get you on again as we make our way into this brave new future. Everybody else, jump online, scienceweek.net.au. Thanks for your time, mate.
Love it. Thanks, guys. Have a good day.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on KROQ 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Your colleague from Channel 7, JB, came down on Friday to see the footy, the Cats taking on the Bombers. And on the way back into town, apparently he teed off a little bit, and then you teed off on him yesterday.
Here comes the whack at Geelong from JB. Have a think about what goes on in Geelong. Not much goes on there, he said.
Ooh.
They don't have Madonna concert on a weekly basis. It's not freaking 1988, JB.
Yes.
They have one game of footy. It's the only thing that happens in that dump of a joint. Oh. So when you have a game of footy, leave your friggin' roads open. Jesus Christ, how hard is it? They're not our friggin' roads, JB.
They're literally Melbourne roads.
They are literally Melbourne roads. Thank you very much. We are talking about near the West Gate Bridge, the Western Ring Roads. They're your roads, JP.
Yeah.
Don't hang it on our Geelong roads. It is bloody beautiful around here. I got a little bit yelly, didn't I?
No, I loved it.
A little bit ranty.
Loved it.
What was the feedback like?
The feedback was online.
Yes.
A lot, I'll say that. And a lot of people really praising you for sticking up for our town.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
But the thing is, at the end of the show, you said, come on then, JB, come on my show tomorrow and let's debate it, how good the roads are.
Now, that'd be riveting, wouldn't it?
Do we have an answer? Is JB coming on the show?
No, he's not coming on the show, but he did text. He said... a few swear words in here.
Oh, so okay.
I just blocked them out. Yeah. Completely missed the point in that article. What I had that about was the freeway at the West Gate going down to one lane for 4Ks while at the same time the ring road was completely shut. Do that on a Tuesday night when there is no game on your wits.
Yeah. No, we know. Why did you drag Geelong into it, though?
Yeah. No, didn't really touch on that back to me. So at the moment, as I head up the highway on Friday night to work at the game. We'll just see how frosty the corridor exchange is between James and myself.
Record it if you can, if you know how to do that.
give him a bit of a shirt front as you walk past.
That's for Geelong. Yeah.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast. Tom, Lingy and Loggy on K-Rock. Huh? Movies. Explained badly.
All right, so this is when we're perusing Stan and we're like, what movie should we watch? And we're reading the little blurbs and it tells you what the movie's about in a really good way. But we're turning this on its head and we're explaining it in a way that you wouldn't really think of. Makes it a little bit harder. Therein lies the game. You and I, Tom, have to guess what movie Lingy is explaining badly today.
Oh, my God. Absolutely. Beautifully done, Log.
It takes a segment about explaining things badly for you to do your best explanation ever. Well done, Log.
Honestly, brilliant. I can feel it too.
You are on point there, mate.
Wow. Whoa. Imagine if I was like that every day.
Oh, this show would just be incredible.
It'd be boring.
I saw you leave your own body.
I felt it too.
You were hovering on the ceiling.
I know. Anyway.
All right. We'll keep that rhythm going. See if you can guess this one, all right?
Yes.
Okay. This is just the top line. A bit of a sell point here, this one. Come and enjoy one of the most devastatingly upsetting films ever made.
Okay. That's
the catch cry.
Okay. You think of devastating films. Yeah. What comes to mind? Thinking... Boy in the Striped Pyjamas.
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
You're thinking Schindler's List.
Ooh, okay. Oh, yeah.
You're thinking, he loves the dark movies.
But what are so there's different, like there's different buckets you could sort of pop them in. So Marley and Me is pretty devastating.
Oh, my God.
And he's a dog guy.
He is a dog guy.
Human Centipede is very devastating also.
Oh, my goodness.
Don't Google that in your own time.
Do not Google that. All right. As we continue down below the catch cry there.
What's the one with Macaulay Culkin when he's My Girl?
Oh, My Girl.
Oh, I thought you were going to say The Son. The Son one.
Oh, The Good Son.
The Good Son.
Oh, that was... Oh, I've forgotten about that movie.
We've got to sit down and watch it.
Oh, I don't know if I want to. I remember that from when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
Was that
far out? Yeah,
that
intense. Affected me,
that movie. I can't talk about My Girl either. I would never do that film because it's just too upsetting. Yeah. All right, continuing on. Down the blurb a little bit further. Old man makes life-changing trip using questionable air travel method to discover meeting your heroes is never a good thing.
Okay. Yeah, and I would say I bawled my eyes out at this movie.
You
absolutely
reckon you're onto
balls,
it?
I reckon.
Can I give you the last little bit?
We know what it is. But give us the last
little bit. Okay, the last little bit. Bad guy misses an opportunity to make a bucket load of money with a brilliant invention for dogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And the movie is Up.
Yes. Yay. Do you agree? Possibly the most devastatingly upsetting opening to a film ever made.
Oh, my God. Start. And you know what? I feel like when he's like, I hate everything and I'm leaving, I'm like, yeah.
I feel that. We nailed it, mate.
Yes. My mum recommended that movie to me. Mm. I rang her about 4 minutes into the movie and had a crack at her for making me watch it.
Yeah.
I was bawling.
Oh, yeah. It's supposed to be a kids movie.
Yeah.
All right. The biggest lineup of entertainment only on Stan. That's Movies Explained Badly for this week.
The Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Now, back before Tom, Lingy and Loggy, there was Monkey Loggy and the Big Fella, right? In Warrnambool.
And I heard about the show and I didn't think it was a real thing.
Yeah, I know.
I actually found a way to listen. I was like, oh my God, this is a real radio show.
Right. And so Monkey and me are still very close friends. So I've kind of, you know, grown up with him and his kids. And one of his kids was on The Voice the other night. Her name is Millie Monk. She's 24 years of age and she's an absolute superstar. Here she is singing for the judges who, by the way, all happened to turn.
On the edge of 17, just like the wild window, sings a song, sounds like she's singing.
Just absolute goosebumps. We're all screaming. We've got her on the phone right now. Millie Monk, good morning.
Hello. Hey, guys. Hey, Loggy. Oh, my goodness. This is crazy.
I know. Mate, one of the things that we have to start with is watching you on TV with a beautiful family. I must say, Mashallah, beautiful. My whole family was screaming for you as well. We were all watching. I didn't realise that you went to the tarot cards to see if you should go on The Voice.
Oh, mate, there's lots of things that have transpired before this journey,
yeah.
And the tarot is one of them. I took a spiritual journey when I moved up to the Sunshine Coast. I play around with them sometimes when I'm feeling a bit lost, just need some clarity and guidance. And it was like, chase your dreams. And I kid you not, on my laptop, an ad came up to apply for The Voice, and it was the day before it closed. So I just was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to throw all my eggs in one basket. And, yep, it's so far been working out. So, yeah, pretty crazy.
Oh, you are doing amazing things, Millie. Congratulations. I'm just the way you're talking now and hearing all this, is this Loggy having corrupted you when you were a little kid?
100%. I have known Loggy for quite some time. And, she's just as full on as I am, if not more. I love it. I love it.
Love you, Mill.
Millie, it's so amazing to have all four judges turn their chairs for you. What was it like when you realised that everyone was turning? You're going to have the choice of the bunch.
Yeah. No, it was crazy. And I'm not sure, like, whoever seen it, I had no idea they all turned. I was very much just focused on the moment and singing. And then when I came to the conclusion that, oh, my God, all four have turned, yeah, I was gobsmacked. I was just really – I was in shock, but I was so excited and couldn't believe it. It was a pinch-me moment. It was awesome.
You chose Ronan Keating. Why? Why him in particular?
To tell you the truth, I remember being young and watching X Factor, and he was one of the judges. And I remember clearly this audition once. I think her name was Bella. She sang Skinny Love on X Factor, and she was incredible. And Ronan got so excited about her and, like, stood up on the judge panel and everything. And I was like, I just was like, that to me is what I grew up watching. And, like, the fact that he's here as a coach, I can't go past that. Plus, he was kind of funny and had a bit of a gag with the spiritual stuff, and I was like, yeah, I better pick him.
Yeah, yeah. The thing was, I'm a people pleaser. I don't do front stuff. That's what we say here on the show. And so to stand in front of four people saying, be on my team, I would really struggle. Were you struggling in that moment to be like, oh, God, who do I choose?
This is not a valid menu option.
Oh.
Yeah, it was hard because, like, Melanie C is unreal.
Yeah.
Melanie C is so cool, and she's a Spice Girl. And then Richard Marx was talking about how he's no Stevie Nicks, and I was like, oh, my God, how can I go past that? And then Kate Miller-Heike's Australian. So I was like, yeah, it was tricky, but I had to make a decision. You know, time was ticking, and I just in the moment, I went, yep, Ronan.
Well,
hopefully it works out.
We hope it does too. We've got to ask about Dad. Loggy talks about Monkey all the time, loves to. He's occasionally popped in on this show even and had a little chat. Was he bawling his eyes out?
Yes.
Was he playing it cool? What was he doing?
Yeah, no. So we would have all thought he would be playing it cool for sure, and Loggy can speak to that. Like, you know, he's. He likes a bit of me time, but he had the tears. He had the waterworks going, which is really beautiful. And I think it's just because they know how long of a journey this has been for me. And I think he just saw me in my absolute element. And it was really special. And I actually cried watching it back as well. So
did we all too.
He's a softie.
Plus, he's got one ear that really sticks out. And that was really prominent on TV. Yes. So that was really good to see too. Millie, we wish you.
He definitely makes your ears bigger. We saw that.
We wish you the absolute best. We cannot wait to watch your journey. You are such a talent. And even though it says you're from the Sunny Coast, you're actually from Warrnambool, and you're representing the Southwest. So we do love you lots, mate, and all the best.
I appreciate you guys so much. Thanks to the Southwest for getting around me. It's been unreal.
Yeah, we'll be following your journey. Millie, The Voice continues 7 p.m. Sunday and 7:30 p.m. Monday and Tuesday on 7.
Want more of that gear? Just tune in weekdays from 6 on K-Rock 955 or at krock.com.au. That's where you go for more Tom Lingy and Loggy Gold.
Loggy's making stuff up again, Tommy.
Absolutely, she is.
Completely pulling things out of thin air.
I'm not. If you were going to a wedding this weekend, you would wash your car. You wash your car before you go to a wedding or a christening or a funeral. It's just what you do. You rock up in a clean car.
If the car is being used for the bridal party,
No. If you're a guest, even if you're a guest, it is very important that you rock up with a clean car.
Society is putting so many expectations on me already. I just can't handle one more. It's just too much.
It's the way it is.
My car gets washed once a year, if that.
Oh, yeah, the boys at the Cameron Ling Academy, of course.
Yeah. That's actually once a month.
Yeah.
Right. I'll walk right
if you want to stay in the academy, you wash Lingy's car. That's how it works. Just quickly, I am now thinking about a wedding that it was certainly a European.
Okay.
Wedding that I went to. I actually don't 100% know. It was half Italian and half, I want to say, Croatian, maybe.
Yeah,
that would be
very
a
careful.
Guess from me, but yeah. I'm being super careful. Anyway, I went to that wedding. And now I'm thinking, did I wash my car? And then I thought, of course you didn't wash your car. You didn't know you had to do it.
Yeah, everyone.
But do you know what happened in the car park of this wedding? Whilst we were in there at the reception, we came out and someone had driven into our car, right, in the car park whilst it was parked, and they'd driven off. And so now I'm thinking, oh, my God.
You don't wash your car, Tommy? Yeah. That's what happens.
You don't wash your car.
It was a message.
Yeah. It's either that or the horse head in the bed, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Right. Let's go to Andrew from Armstrong Creek. Andrew, do you have to wash your car before a wedding?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think if you're not a part of the party and you're not a part of the bridal party, there's no reason to wash your car. You wash your car a couple of times a year when you walk out of the shops and it's glistening with that dirt and you look at it and you go, oh, I'm gainfully employed. I could definitely do better than that.
Yeah.
That's when you go down and wash your car.
And maybe...
But you are... Sorry, you go, yeah.
Maybe if some kid's drawn some sort of particular picture in the dirt on your car, that's the time to wash it.
No, that's when you're proud and you leave it there.
Yeah.
You are onto something here, Loggie. You are onto something here. If you go to a wedding or you go to an event, you do need to make your car functional because you can't have crap on the back seat and bottles and old jackets and all those sorts of things because there's no guarantee you're not going to have to take someone's mom to the reception and all this sort of stuff. So, you do need to make it functional, but as far as being washed, if they've got a seat in the car and you're taking them somewhere, they should be fortunate to that. So, no, you don't need to wash it.
Be better, Andrew, is what I would say.
Wow. Also, I don't know what type of parties Andrew's going to or he's going home with mums. Collecting mums.
Well, this is a good boy, this one. Tanya from Ocean Grove, do you have to wash your car before a wedding?
100% you do.
What?
You've been invited to somebody's wedding. You're in your best attire. By God, would you really want to get into a dirty car and show that much disrespect to the people that have invited you to their biggest day?
Wow. Yes, Tanya.
Oh, Tanya. Yes. Tanya, you didn't happen to drive into Tommy's car at a wedding recently.
Well,
I've
not been there.
can I just park around the corner? Is that something?
No. And funerals as well. It is like that. This is their last day on this earth. Show some respect.
Yes.
You drive a beautiful, clean car inside and out.
Yes, Tanya.
100% every time. It doesn't matter what nationality you are. It's respect.
Okay.
We are getting schooled.
Yeah. Yeah. To be fair, I reckon they got bigger problems than what my car looks like.
At the funeral? No, that's what I'll be talking about.
Yeah,
I'm telling everyone up there, didn't care, could not even wash his car for me.
Oh, wow. So we're one on one at the moment. Okay. Terry from Torquay's on the line. Terry, what's your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, how you going, guys? I think I'm going to pip you, so I'm going with Loggy here. It's a thing. It's definitely a thing.
Thank you.
Terry, do you enjoy washing your car, though? Is it something you like to do?
Oh, look, I didn't say I actually do it, but I've got two young boys now, so, you know.
Set them to work.
And that's the thing, Terry. You've got to take pride when you're going to someone's big event, don't you? Or everyone will talk about you.
Oh, yeah. 100%, mate. I'm, Greek background. Used to have dads. When we were younger, used to get us out with the old washing machine powder and destroy the paint job and get it all washed and clean.
Get the chamois out.
Amazing.
Okay,
amazing.
We're learning a lot here.
All right, so seems that I'm winning currently.
2-1. Stace in Cario, good morning. Do you have to wash your car before you go to a wedding or a funeral or a christening?
Absolutely, you do. The one time I was being lazy, my dad reprimanded me so much, he sent me to the car wash in between the ceremony and the reception.
That's amazing.
Yes! That's the way to do it.
Oh, far out. All right. Well, I mean, I think that's sort of settled it. Right?
Be better, guys. That's what we're collectively saying to you.
When you eventually organise your wedding, Tommy and I will make sure our cars are washed. That's our promise to you.
You won't be driving cars by that time.
We're flying spaceships.
Tom, Lingy and Rocky. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime and listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.